Welcome to the Facts Hole. That was good, Kay.
Facts Hole. Are we harmonizing again?
Yeah, that was good. Earlier today, my voice, like, literally teenage boy puberty cracked in the middle of my Facts Hole song, so I'm really glad that didn't happen again. You guys, this is Erin. We're doing intros these days because, like we said on our last podcast, we actually have people listening from 40 states, which Whoa. Is, like, kind Yee-hoo. Of bonkers. So I'm Erin. I am one half of this equation. I have a digital marketing firm called Local Grit, and I'm also a brand photographer. So we're super happy to have you here on Foxhole. We like to talk about celebrating their regular people, kind of doing their own jams that are sort of off the beaten path of the 9 to 5. Usually,
the weirdos.
The weirdos, and like really interesting people that we can learn a lot from. So today's episode, I think, is going to be really interesting for a lot of you foxes.
Yeah, we're super excited. We actually got a lot of interest when we put this up on the grams. Mm-hmm. So I am Casey, a full-time wedding photographer in Alexandria, Virginia. And yeah, so this is our scaling versus not scaling episode.
Yes. So the genesis of this podcast came when somebody who was coming for a came to us for a coaching request wanted to talk about this. And I was like, you know what? I have so many questions about this too, but I haven't done it. So maybe I shouldn't answer those questions. And it's a conversation that I've touched on briefly with both of our guests. So I just wanted to explore it. So the people that we have on the podcast today, we have Amanda Fisher here from Grade A Fresh Marketing.
Well, it's just Grade A Marketing.
Grade A Marketing.
Grade A Fresh is my Twitter.
And handle. she is so fresh.
She's so fresh.
I love it. And Amanda is a rock star throughout our local community area. She sits on the board of many things and wins all of the awards. So she is somebody that's been very near and dear to my heart as a personal friend, but also in business. She's actually taught me the word no, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah.
She's real good at it.
I'm very good at it. Yeah. So, I can teach everybody how to say no.
Right, right. So Amanda has consciously made the decision at this point in her business not to scale. So that is going to be the one perspective. So if you want to say a little something about
my business. So at Grade A, I help companies that are based actually nationally or globally. I help them make better use of their existing marketing resources. So a lot of times there's entry-level people doing all the work, and there's a really high-level person in charge of them, and there's nobody to kind of, you know, bridge the gap in between, help direct those entry-level people, form a plan and execute and keep people accountable. And I kind of step right in there as a chief marketing officer for the D.C. metro area, because this is an area that's served heavily from global and national companies.
For sure.
So interesting.
So she does some really cool B2B stuff.
It's all B2B. It's professional service industries, really, but across the board. So all types of service industries, from lawyers, accountants, but then also aerospace, so real estate, all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Super busy. So cool. And then who else we have here? We have Tori Thomas. She is one of the co-founders of a design firm out of Nashville called Circa Design. Hold on one sec. My puppy is, like, losing her actual shit.
I was wondering what that was.
She'd be a bad job.
It's like the doorstop.
It is, yeah, it's the doorstop. Yeah.
She loves that thing. Okay, so Tori actually came to me kind of serendipitously. I had put a call out on Facebook for designers when I was looking for some work, and one of my old friends from back in my agency's days had referred me to her, and we just started talking and kind of like really easily talked for a very long time. And she had actually brought up the scalability topic as well. So she has consciously made the decision to scale. So she's going to be that perspective. So say hi to Tori.
Hi, Tori.
Hello.
Yeah. So Tori, do you want to give a little spiel about your business in Circa?
Yeah, I would love to. So I'm excited to be on the podcast. I love what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
So Circa Design, we're based in Nashville, Tennessee. We also have an office in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where I am currently living. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that opened in November. We serve all different sizes of businesses, but our strengths are design services and branding and strategic design. So anything from a logo to website to implementation, so email newsletters, really whatever someone can need. So we either act as a collaborative partner or we become kind of like an in-house team. We also help set up in-house teams. So we work with just kind of wherever someone's at. Our really what we say is we help good ideas grow. so wherever they're at, through strategic design and branding.
Cool. And she's got like a little rock star team. I've actually been able to consult with some of your junior team members, your social experts over there. And they're just like such little rock stars. Reminds me that everybody is nice in the South.
Oh, yeah. I'm from the Midwest.
I love it.
So,
that was so helpful. Sam and Melody, they loved it. It was
really so fun. Awesome. Yeah. Well, cool. So, yeah, that's our rock star lineup for today. So I'm pretty excited to launch into those questions. But let's just sort of get our minds right a little bit. Casey, do you want to do your words live by?
Sure can. My words to live by this week are, and I found this quote on Pinterest and it just like spoke to me. If outside validation is your only source of nourishment, you will hunger for the rest of your life.
Ooh, I like that. Especially in like the time of Instagram scrolling.
Yes. And cutting through the comparison game. And also after our conversation with Lauren Everts, I really started thinking about trying not to scroll too much through the feed and just like going to the accounts that I like support on the reg and trying not to do the scroll and stay in my own lane and stay in my own head, especially as wedding season picks up. I really don't want to like have anybody else's work in my head. So yeah, those are my words to live by this week.
I like that one. I like that. Amanda, what are yours?
Well, we just talked about how I really like to say no, but I was actually going with, if it makes you uncomfortable, you should do it.
I love that. That's one of my favorite.
Because, you know, you're not going to grow as a person if you don't do things that are uncomfortable for you. And if you just stay in your comfort zone, then you're just going to ho-hum, watch life pass you by. So it just makes you feel more accomplished, too, every day.
Like, yeah,
I did. This really scared me, and I conquered it.
Love it.
I love that too.
Yeah, so and they always important. Say like that uncomfortable feeling is growing.
Yeah, and it can be something small too. Like, for example, I mean, this is not what I did today as my one thing, but I parallel parked today. So, like, you know, I usually would try to avoid that, and I did it twice today. So I did other things that also make me uncomfortable, but I feel like that is a big feat. So
get it, girl. Yeah. I like that. Nice. It can be the small things, you know?
Yeah, small things totally count.
For sure.
Small wins.
Tori, what are your words to live by for right now?
Okay, my words to live by, they have been my words for like the last maybe 6 months. A friend here in Kalamazoo told me them. Abby Weiner, she is a musician here, and she shared them with me. It's excellence over achievement. And I think about it because I often get those two mixed up. So my husband, when I've told him this, he like doesn't get it. But I feel like, so hopefully you understand what I'm saying. But I feel like achievement is a really easy goal to look at, but it's often kind of empty because it's other people bestowing it on you.
Right.
Whereas excellence is really a long-term goal. Like it's something beyond ourselves. We have a little bit of control in the sense of pursuing it. Like we can always pursue excellence. So for me, it was just like a good, I keep going back to it, that's what the goal is. It's not achievement, it's excellence.
Okay. I love that. That's actually such a good internal meter versus that external thing.
I like
they're all kind of
it's together. Always like also to help you strive to always do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just be happy with, you know, doing just well. You want to improve upon everything, you know? Oh, so deep.
So deep. So deep. Okay. So I actually have a joke one and then I have a real one, okay, but yeah. I just like read this. I read this today and it like literally made me die laughing. Be careful who you save. You could be interrupting their karma.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
A little bit of dark humor for you. Okay, here's my real one. It's a Dr. Seuss quote.
That's your real one?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It says, "Why fit in when you were born to stand out?"
Oh, yeah.
So that's just like something I feel like my life subscribes to.
Yeah.
As a ginger, it's not like I've easily blended in ever, but especially like in business, in this area, I feel like it's so saturated with so many people doing so much of the same. And it can be easy to try to be like that person that goes to that same new place and take the same Instagram photo. And it's just like, keep doing you and like, stop it with all that bullshit. It just drives me bonkers.
Stop it. Just stop it.
And there's Casey. Okay.
This coffee is really helping my life.
Yeah, Casey's right like now. A little overcaffeinated right now. Okay, so I'm just going to launch into my favorite things. How about that?
Yoo-hoo!
Okay. So my first one is, okay. So for the longest time I've been using Maria Badescu's, drying lotion for zits. And it's just like, I can't always have giant white spots on my face or pink spots. So the Indie Lee blemish stick has actually been really great. It's clear.
You can write this one down.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. It's like, it's clear. You can use it day or night, and it sucks them up just like Maria Badescu.
I gotta worry about all this, you know, when you're pregnant. You have to worry about all the things. Yeah. So I had to stop using, like, everything.
Your skin looks really good, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm using nothing.
Yeah, hormones.
I'm using nothing.
I'm using absolutely nothing. Okay, my next one is, I'm going to have to go with my coffee one. I found this Hawaiian coffee. I'm on this Hawaiian coffee kick. One of Chris's clients is Hawaiian, I guess, and brought them in a sample. And then it brought me back to my Hawaiian nanny days. So I literally found online Kauai coffee, macadamia nut vanilla. And it's just such like a lovely summery treat. Yeah. So I'm loving
that.
It's
so good. And that's what I'm drinking right now. And it's delicious. Everyone should buy it.
Endorsement from Casey Crow Taylor.
They should sponsor us.
It's Thank you. Good. Okay. And then also I've been on this like binge of Mad Men again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so fucking long though. It's like seven seasons at 13 episodes. Yes. I'm like, will it ever end? But like, I must try.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing with all my spare time. Even though I've read all these articles that are like successful people watch less than 1 hour of TV a day.
Yeah,
like,
a TV show too.
So. But they haven't seen Mad Men yet. So that's what I do with my time. How about you, Amanda?
Well, let's go with the theme of TV, and I will go with The Handmaid's Tale.
Most fucked up show ever.
I just started watching it, so I'm behind. So we are going into episode 6 of the first season.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it's because everybody, all of my friends were like, you haven't seen it? And So, and it seemed really interesting to me, but it seemed like one of those things that you don't really, you know, it seems uncomfortable to watch, but I actually freaking love it. Cannot get enough
that
of it.
That doesn't watch surprise it.
I'm
me about you.
I'm so sad that I have to wait for Doug to watch it because he apparently likes this show.
Oh, boo.
He doesn't like any of the shows, but he likes this one, so I have to wait for him.
Oh my God, so good. Okay, wait till you get to season 2 because it's literally the most fucked up 10 minutes of television I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, well, I don't know. There's like how many? There's 5 more episodes in this season, and then
you got to power through.
Yeah.
Tori and Casey, do you guys watch it?
Not yet.
I don't think I could handle it.
I tried to read
the book. Really?
Oh.
I was like, the book was miserable. I just like couldn't get through it.
Oh, I'm like,
so
I really want to read the book.
Try the show. I'll try the show.
I like that dark stuff.
The first ones are probably, I don't know, I'm only 5 episodes in, but I feel like they kind of wear you down. So you're not as shocked after the first couple of episodes. And then you're like, oh, this is easy. So that is definitely number 1. I wish I was watching it right now, guys. Bye.
Thanks.
Sorry. No, I love being here. And also Rothy's, guys. Rothy's. The shoes Rothy's. Oh.
I don't know what those are.
Oh.
How do you spell it?
Rothy apostrophe S. They are very, very comfortable. They are made out of like recycled materials. They can be washed very easily. I think I have not washed mine yet.
Yeah.
But shut up. Who washes their shoes? But they're not that dirty yet. The round toe ones are really comfortable. I actually do have the pointed toe. The pointed toe are not as comfortable, I have to say. They just came out with loafers. Those I have not tried. But the round toe flats are pretty amazing.
Oh, the little loafers are cute.
They don't rub your feet in any weird way. They are very comfortable. You can wear them for walking long distances.
Do they come in extra wide for my fat feet?
I do not think they come in extra wide, but you can check right now since we're on the website.
They only come in regular.
I would maybe size up. I don't know. But you can always try them out.
Okay, on that note, that's why I love Stuart Weitzman's shoes so much because they come in wide. They shame you into getting a wide because they're like very limited quantity.
Yeah.
They're so good.
But those are great shoes, but whenever I wear them, people are like, are those Rothy's? And then they ask me how they are, and I want everybody to know that round toe ones are good. Pointed toes did not work for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Rodan and Fields Lash Boosts. I promise I am not a...
It's okay. My dog's scratching and stuff.
Yeah. The dog is scratching. So Lash Boost, guys, Lash Boost. It's amazing. It's it's Rodin and Fields. You know, you probably know like 50 friends at least of yours selling them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't use any other products. I've tried a bunch because I have a bunch of friends selling it. I'm like, oh, sure, I'll try this. I'll try that. I tried the Lash Boost. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm not Your lashes do look really good. And I'm not hardly wearing any mascara at all. I just went boop, boop. And if I put a lot of mascara on, they would be wild.
Love it. You guys, her eyeballs look great.
It's, I mean, I get stopped. People are like, wow, are those your real lashes? I'm not kidding. And I'm, you go to whoever you know that sells this, and I make no money off of this. I'm telling you, it is great. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Those are your three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tori, how about you? What are you loving right now?
All right. So I'll start with TV shows as well. We're rewatching The Office.
Oh, and so funny.
Oh, it's so good.
Such
Pam,
a funny show.
I love that show. It's so great, Pam and Jim. but I didn't realize I missed a whole season.
So oh, really? That's amazing.
Yes. I thought I'd watched everyone. So that was kind of a fun surprise. Then I'm reading, I don't know what this means I fall under, but I'm reading these books by Brandon Sanderson, and they're, I guess they're like fantasy books. My cousin gave them to me, and I'm kind of obsessed. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, but even like a weirder world, and I don't typically read fantasy, but I like love these, and they're super long, so it's like a I'm on the third one, and it's taking me forever, but I'm obsessed.
Fun.
And then my third item, so I'm honestly really bad with, like, products. I don't know. I just feel like I use whatever I find, and I don't really research very well. Mm-hmm. But I went to a hair workshop recently,
ooh,
and they recommend this. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. OI Milk. It's like a heat therapy. Mm. From, so these brands, I feel like someone might know how to say this. Divine, is that a brand? D-A-V-I-N-E.
Davine?
Davines. Okay, thank you.
It's Davines, yeah. They're a Canadian brand.
That brand, and then it's Wee Milk, like O-I
yes,
Milk.
Yes, that product is so good. Yes,
it's amazing. And so my hair is actually usually very poofy, and it does whatever needs to happen to make it not poofy, and I love it.
Nice. That's a good find. A good hair product is something I will hold on to for my whole life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm writing this down right now.
She's literally writing it down. She's like, all right. And
like, all of their products smell so good.
Yes, it smells amazing.
Awesome.
And apparently this hair workshop, I've been blow drying my hair wrong for
How are you supposed to do it? What were you doing wrong?
Like, I feel like I never learned. I just kind of would blow dry it with my normal blow dryer. And apparently you're supposed to have kind of like a fancier blow dryer with that little thing.
A diffuser, like, and then like the pointy thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I lost that piece of my hair dryer. So I got a new hair dryer, and now my hair is better than it has been for the last maybe 10 years.
I got a hair workshop. Sounds so fun.
Oh, it was fun. It was really interesting.
That's awesome.
Team building.
Yeah. Seriously.
Actually, we took our team and went to the hair workshop.
Oh, cool. Such a smart. Yeah,
so fun.
Smart little bonding activity. That's the benefits of having a female company.
I know, really.
That's cool.
What I was like, well, I feel like we can do this now. Maybe not later, but right now we can.
I love it. Okay, so I'm going to just, like, dive into it because we can get back to some of the fun stuff afterwards if we have some time, but I kind of just want to get into this conversation about scalability. My experience with scalability, like, the first time I heard that word was when I worked in an agency when I was, like, just out of school, and I was like, that's, like, how you make money. I just, like, saw a dollar sign. So, like, the way I've always, like, thought about, like, growing a business has it just been ingrained in me that I have to scale. But then, like, since not being 21 anymore, RIP, I've sort of just, like, for me, I'm not sure that's the way to do it. And I've just always had all these questions about, like, when and how and why and pros and cons. So I'm just very curious to, you know, hear your stories. So if you could both, and I'll just have Amanda go first, tell us sort of how you got to where you are as far as your career goes. Like, where did you kind of start out in the industry and what sort of led you to launching your own business.
Sure. So I started out, I went to school at GW in DC, and I just decided that I was going to go there because it was a very city-centric environment where I could collect internships. And so mm-hmm. I started out really early getting job experience, worked at, you know, WB, which is now CW, mm-hmm. and I worked at a big PR media firm, and I did, you know, legal work. I did all sorts of stuff, internships. And then when I got out, I really realized that I liked PR a lot, but that I wasn't going to make a lot of money doing that. And so I was like, how can I use these skills to make money? And mm-hmm. so I went into a sales position. So I got a lot of sales experience. I was in sales for a while. So I had sales, PR, and then one of my sales jobs lent itself into marketing. And so I had all of a sudden all these marketing responsibilities, building a community within the sales position that I had, managing for like co-working centers before co-working was what it is today. Mm. And we had to start building communities within those centers of business owners. And so I managed basically about 350 businesses that worked out of these centers. And I managed a sales team of four. And then I managed the receptionist staff at 2 to 4 of the locations at any given time.
Okay.
So I got a lot of marketing experience that way, and then I realized that I needed to leave that position, and I was looking for, you know, what am I going to do next? I wanted to get more marketing experience, and so I went to an orthotics and prosthetics company where I was the head of their marketing, but that was in healthcare, so it was very different. Gosh, this could go on forever, but anyway, I'll just cut to the chase. I never meant to start a business. I never wanted to own my own business. I saw people do it the wrong way all the time. I never really had a good mentor to teach me how to do anything the right way. But I saw all these companies just like crashing and burning. And I was like, I'm never going to freaking own a business. But what happened was after I left the orthotics, I was leaving the orthotics and prosthetics company, and I was looking for my next position. And I went to all these companies that had the same issues. They had no marketing materials to give as leave behinds. They wanted to hire somebody in business development, and they had no leave behinds to, you know, give to potential people that were interested. They had no way of keeping track of any of their prospects, and they actually had no description for the job they wanted to hire me for, but they thought I was perfect and they wanted to hire me. And so I realized that I was going to be setting myself up for failure at any of these three companies because they did not know what they wanted in a person. Mm-hmm. So I could not fulfill that role.
Right. How are you going to succeed?
Exactly. Because they haven't written anything down for as far as they just liked me. It was a feeling for them. They wanted to hire me, but they didn't even know what the position entailed really. Mm-hmm. And they thought, and I said, you know, well, you really need to have this, a CRM, a customer relationship manager set up so that you can keep track of all of the opportunities that are coming in and where they are and who owns them. And then you also need to be able to have marketing collateral, like anything past, like just something that looks nice.
For sure.
Even a business card that looks nice. I mean, you know, not that they didn't have business cards, but they were, you know, whack. Yeah. They're just like really crappy.
Yeah.
And so, I was talking about all these things and they're like, well, we thought you could do that. And I said, so the problem is then they were setting me up to fail in that way too, because by the time I did all those things, instituted a CRM, created the marketing materials, wrote my own job description, I would be 6 months behind and I wouldn't have sold anything.
Gotcha.
So I went to some business owner friends of mine. I'm explaining this issue. I don't want to work for any of these companies. I know it's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. They persuaded me to start my own business.
Gotcha.
And I was just like, I really was no risk, actually, because I went back to them and I said, I went back to each of these companies and I said, what if I help you do all these things, set all these things and put all these things in place at a lower investment for you as a company? So I'll just, you pay me, I'll set this all up, and then you will be in a place to hire a successful business development person. And those were my first three clients.
Oh, cool.
So that's...
Yeah.
That's, I mean, a really, so you kind that's of, the short version of a really long story.
Yeah. So you kind of built yourself like a scalable situation from the beginning as far as growing your business, not in terms of like hiring and growing, but like financially you had like kind of like nuggets that you could continue to grow.
Yeah. But and it definitely started out as a very different thing than what it is today.
Gotcha.
I mean, cool. My engagements work nothing like that anymore. And it's worked. It's a lot better. You know, you learn from what you were doing. Yeah. And I went in with this whole idea that I was going to help small businesses do the things that they couldn't really get done because they were small and they didn't have the resources. And I was going to be the person to help them.
well, now I really help big businesses and I'm all retainer only and I only do little projects for companies I'm already on retainer for.
Because how long ago did you start?
I started 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So Tori, how about you? How did you get to sort of like your background to owning Circa?
Okay, so that was interesting that you said when you started off, you did not want to start your own business. I would say probably since I graduated from college, so I went to school at Auburn and I did a degree in graphic design. And I quickly realized that I probably did want to have my own business because the opportunities that were available didn't really meet what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So I graduated at like the bottom of the recession. So it was fun. I got to experience a lot of different businesses because they were all like temporary positions. Mm-hmm. So I learned kind of like the ins and outs of what it was to work in-house, but also kind of these processes, so things that had that agencies had done for these businesses that weren't necessarily effective. And then also what these positions in the businesses were like, where they weren't very engaging. It was way more production oriented. I worked for a design studio, I worked for a PR firm, and then I worked as a design director at a school in Nashville called the Ensor School. So all those experiences just led me to understand branding and kind of the needs of small businesses, like what design can do when it's done effectively, and then also how I wanted a studio to be. So from the get-go, I wanted to have a team. I think I originally envisioned that team smaller than what we currently are at, but I just knew I wanted to be a place that was what I wanted to find when I graduated from college, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, so it was interesting because I think I had that in my mind with pretty much every opportunity. I was still looking for a place that I could land and be and grow, mm-hmm. but I also kind of struggled to find a spot that was that, like that I could see myself being there for 10 years.
Gotcha.
And my business partner, Laura, so let's see, so that's graduated 2009. 2013 was when I kind of intentionally started doing freelance as like a side business. So I really legitimized my Tori Thomas Design as like a real business entity. Mm-hmm. So I was working full time, but I was doing freelance on the side. Okay. So I made sure that I had 8 hours a week that I dedicated to this freelance. I recorded every hour that I worked to see really what at the end of like the month, at the end of the year, what each hour was worth. So to make sure that when I left my full-time business, my full-time job, it was really worth it. So after 2 years of doing that, I realized it was time to move on. It just didn't make like logical sense to stay where I was at. It like made more sense to do freelance. But mm-hmm. in choosing to do freelance, I actually chose to do this partnership with Laura. So that was 2015.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
And was Laura somebody that you had just like met along the way, or did you sort of like meet her and then go into a business venture? Were you friends first, or what was your relationship with your partner?
Okay, so that's a great question. So I actually met her in 2009, and I met her through babysitting. So it was kind of a connection through graphic design. So I was babysitting for someone who knew I was doing graphic design. So they knew Laura as a graphic designer. So they set me up with her, but I originally met her by babysitting her son. Yeah, it's so funny. But it kind of like comes full circle because one of the things I loved about Laura, so when I met her, started babysitting, then she would pull me into freelance projects. So while I was working other places, I would help freelance just kind of as a contract to her. So kind of like offset some of the workload. And we worked really well together. Like the things I love about design projects, she kind of loves the different stages. So together, I feel like our projects were always better. Mm-hmm. And I just love, she's like very balanced. She, in a lot of ways, we're very similar. Like we have a lot of similarities, but we also complement each other really well.
Gotcha.
She's very, very stable, very balanced, and really focused on like mentorship. She loves, so she was definitely like what I would consider a mentor from like 2009, you know, and even the partnership, she's still in a lot of ways is someone like I look up to and I really value. And I think the way she structured her freelance business was what I saw as being a very successful like structure. Mm. So she has two kids and I could watch her working very effectively, having great clients, but also being very active, like in her family and with her kids. Cool. So I knew she was someone I could partner with.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, when you guys,
I have a quick question before we get into it. Do you guys consider yourselves extrovert or introvert? And do you think that that had like an impact on deciding to scale and not to scale?
No. I'm most definitely an extrovert. I 100% do not think that had an impact on scaling. I think that impacts my ability to sell. I am a great salesperson as the owner of my business and salesperson in general, I think. I have a good track record. And that's an extrovert skill, but I have plenty of extremely successful scale, not scale business owner friends that are introverts.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I just like it piqued my interest when you guys were talking about the fact that you both knew early on that you wanted to either scale or not scale.
No, but see, you didn't ask me that question yet. The question of when did you know in your business whether you wanted to scale or not has not necessarily been made for me. I know that I do not want to scale right now. That doesn't mean that I cannot scale later.
Yeah.
There's a lot behind that.
Yeah, it's harder to scale than to unscale.
It's well, I know. Yeah. I've had friends that have unscaled too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I have friends that have had a large teams and they've ended up stripping the teams and changing the direction of their company and completely going back to a model similar like mine.
Gotcha.
But this is what suits my life right now. And I know that it will take me approximately 5 years to get to the point. So 5 years of rigorous work, whereas things are great right now.
Yeah.
I have a handle on everything. I love my clients. I get to choose my clients. They pay me. They pay me well. I have other ways of making additional income, which I can go into. But, you know, it would take 5 years of rigorous work that I hate in order to get to the point of where I am now financially and then grow up.
Gotcha.
So
you mean like more administrative?
It's a lot of, administrative, but it's just a lot of the work that I don't want to do. And maybe, like Tori's talking about how she found a great, perfect partner. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I don't think it's something to be grateful for and really, to seize that opportunity if you get it. But I think what a lot of people do is they force a partnership that isn't working, and that causes a lot of issues too. And I do feel that I am a person that would like a partner if I were to scale, and gotcha. I have not found someone that would fit that perfectly.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's actually really interesting because going into this, I hadn't really thought about how much partnership might impact that. But it's probably huge. Tori, are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm definitely an extrovert, but I have introverted tendencies.
Gotcha.
But I would say part of scaling, being an extrovert probably had a little bit to do with it in the sense of, it was interesting you mentioned partnership. Mm-hmm. I knew going into freelance, like being an independent business owner, I would struggle working on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew kind of personally that partnership was really valuable to me. But it's so I think we've brought up kind of like scaling and profit or money tied to scaling. And I agree with Amanda. I actually think money is not a good reason to scale because I think it's a longer term investment. Like you're not going to make, you're actually, you would have made more independent than you will scaling. It's going to take a much longer time to get to that point.
Right.
And so it's like, if the immediate return is more important, don't make that decision based on money, basically.
Right.
And I think that there's just other better reasons. And I think if it's money, it will just end up being more frustrating.
Right. But it does grow your potential to eventually make a lot more money. In the end, it's just, you have to go through a period where you don't.
Right.
And where it's also a lot more taxing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Amanda touched on it briefly, but Tori, sort of what factors, other than like you saw, I heard you say that you saw Laura, that she was able to balance work and her family. What other factors kind of played into your decision to scale? And at the same time, like how long was it that you were just you and Laura before you did make that first hire and decide that you were going to sort of project a team?
Well, okay. So that is Great question. So 2015 was when we started, March 2015. Mm-hmm. And when we started, we kind of wrote out kind of like our business plan. And it's funny to go back to it and look at what we wrote. But yeah, one of the things that we kept kind of talking about is we feel like we should always be better together. So our partnership should always make us better. We should always be growing. It should be better for our employees, and it should be better for our clients to work with us versus not. So we knew from kind of day one that we envisioned having employees. We also envisioned having this fellowship program. That's what we do for kind of like, it really is like an internship, but it's more encompassing. So it's a 6-month program, and it's for recent graduates to really be involved in a studio and have the experience again that like I feel like was missing when I graduated, mm-hmm. as that kind of like stepping stone to a full-time career. So we had that vision, and we were kind of thinking maybe 3 years is the time that it would take. But in a few months, we just were overloaded and we needed help. So we had our first kind of intern that ended up being our first employee. Mm-hmm. By the end of the first year, we had 2 employees and 2 fellowship. And then now we're at 5 full-time employees, 2 contractors, and then the fellowship program is 2 in Kalamazoo and 2 in Nashville.
Cool. So were those 2 interns that you turned full, your first hires, did they start as full-time employees, or did you kind of like start them part-time or freelance, or how'd that work?
Yes. So we're very, like another thing, we are pretty low risk. We have very low overhead. So that's like part of our business model is we like to work with everyone from an independent entrepreneur starting their business out of their basement, mm-hmm. to a large corporation where we're helping their in-house team. But we're only able to work with those small independent people when we keep our overhead low and we really understand our processes, right. So that we can like meet those budgets. So for us, we are very hesitant. We don't jump into like hiring people. We do, this fellowship program is the other chance that we get to work with someone for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then if it's what we say now, so originally we had positions. Now we're really like in Nashville, we don't have positions. In Kalamazoo, we probably do. But what we say is it's up to them to make themselves like indispensable where we can't lose them. So if they do that, then we have no choice but to keep them.
Oh, cool.
And so it is, it's an hourly position, and it's really a contract position.
Oh, cool. Okay. That makes sense.
But it was a challenge to navigate that first employee, like how to hire them.
It's a big one. That's like your baby, right? Like it's your first kind of like venture into allowing someone else in, and like, it's a big investment and all that.
Stuff. And I have a technology that helps. Gusto there's a tons of these online human resources, but Gusto was something we hired this group to help us with our finances, and that's what we got out of them, and it's been totally worth it.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned them months ago that you love them.
I love it. It's awesome. It's like your HR person.
Very cool. So Amanda, when you, I remember at one point we were having a conversation, you were kind of like, there was a time when you were like, I could scale or I could not. And you made like a very conscious decision that you did not want to right now.
Yeah.
So what factors, other than I know that you like to choose your clients, like you mentioned, you're making what you want right now and that you have some good balance. Are there any other sort of like, walk me through kind of like the pros and cons to you as far as like deciding at this point not to scale?
Sure. and I have to say that this is something that, it's a decision that I make over and over again, and not necessarily, it doesn't have to be the final decision. So it's, you know, I recently made the decision again, but it was easier because I kind of knew, you know, for right now. And I'm having my second kid. I'm like, you know, this is working out for right now. We'll get over this. And then, so one major thing for me is I do not like to manage people.
Gotcha.
I know I've managed a lot of people. I do well with it. But you know, I don't like HR in general. I don't like to hire. I don't like to fire. I can do it. You know, that's not even it. It's the day-to-day of managing people. And I do a lot of that in my business, but it works out better because I come in as a consultant where there is a different kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. And I work with the internal staff of the companies that are my clients. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that works, and I like that relationship and not having to to, you know, it's something that Tori mentioned that I would love of any company that I worked for is an amazing, you know, organizational environment. Mm-hmm. And that is not, that takes a lot of energy and it takes a very, you have to work just as hard for your, to, you know, rev up your internal staff as you do for your clients. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's just not where I wanted to put my energy right now. And it's not necessarily something that I don't want to do. But again, that's some that's somewhere where I see a partner, you know, right. where I have a need for a partner is for that and for financial stuff.
Right. And I actually think that's so important to have that self-awareness because like not every, like it's super right. okay to not love managing people. And it's so much better to be aware of that than to take people on and not sort of like cultivate them into being like great employees if you don't have the time or resources or whatever right now.
Well, yeah. And so many, that's exactly it is. So many people just hire people and then it's like they throw them to the wolves kind right. of thing. It's just like, you know, they have no kind of onboarding process, but then also no community environment, right. nothing that makes them excited to go to work. And I don't want to be, struggling to be that for somebody because it's, you know, because it's just not where my head is right, right. now. I'm very strong in the business development. I'm very strong in the client account management side of things. I'm very, you know, and obviously a lot of the execution and the strategic partnerships mm-hmm. and things like that. But where I could use a partner would be managing staff.
Yeah. And I bet that's so important. Tori, you sort of mentioned that you and Laura are very, you know, complementary. I feel like that's yes. partnership in general. I feel like it's like a marriage, which I'm mm-hmm. learning very quickly. Yes. Complementary things are very important.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, being able, I feel like to be a business owner and having that self-awareness is just so freaking key.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like both of you are like very self-aware in what you need, and what you like both enjoy doing and prioritizing that in your business mm-hmm. first. I think that's so smart.
Right. Mm. So Amanda, what are the cons about not scaling?
I'll tell you a big one. It's a hit to my ego, constantly because it's like, oh, so you own a business? Yeah. So is it just, so how many employees do you have? It's just me. You know,
oh, really?
No, oh, that's nice. You know, so it's like, you know,
or when people call you a freelancer.
You know what? That doesn't actually, I don't get that. And I mean, my clients really respect me. And when I explain what I do, I get a lot of respect and it really is about the outward confidence going into it. So it's like, I'm comfortable with what I do. So it really doesn't matter what other people think, but that is that, you know, when you, anything that any business owner type thing that you go to, if you belong to any kind of network or group or, you know, you go into that and then, you know, oh, how many employees do you have or whatever, you know, that's a,
like
that I don't love answering that question, yeah. I have to say. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only con.
Gotcha. Well, here's a question. So I'm about to leave for Africa for 3 weeks. And, like, I'm really wondering if I'm going to still have a business. but my question is, like, being a mom and being a business owner, you don't get maternity leave. You don't right. get PTO.
Correct.
How do you work that out?
I just do.
Do you, like, just work all the time on vacation?
I did. No. The way that I structure my engagements is I dedicate a certain number of hours per month to each client. Mm-hmm. And so I have a scope of work that we run depending on the client, mm-hmm. but, I just do heavy up front or heavy when I get back okay. and I, you know,
so
or split it up.
It,
it's just, you know, I just need to make sure that I don't take an entire month off pretty yeah, much. Whoops. That's yeah.
<My bad. laughs>
So, I mean, and even when I was, you know, for maternity, you know, I had my kids September 20th. I finished everything for the month before that.
Okay.
And then I didn't have to start all my obligations for October until midway through October. Gotcha. I mean, but I was working. Yeah, I was answering emails. It wasn't hard at that time with one kid that sleeps almost all day.
Yeah, you had a good sleeper.
I did have a good sleeper, but most babies sleep. They might not sleep the hours you want them to sleep, but they sleep a lot, right? And it's not hard to answer emails. I didn't take any meetings, right? So, but yeah, no, I did it. And it was, I don't know how it's going to be with two. And I did take that opportunity at that time to shed some clients that I didn't want to have anymore. And that was actually fabulous. And then I was able to grow my business back up to where it was 6 months past where it was 6 months postpartum. Okay. So, but we don't, you know, so I did scale back a little bit, but I maintained everything. I kept my clients, most of them, the ones that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. and then scale back up. And then, and that was a hard time, actually. That's the time where you start thinking, like, am I going to be able to amp this back up? Gotcha. Am I? But now I know I've done it once before. You just need to get through it. You need to just have confidence and, you know, and it'll work itself out.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Tori, how about you? What are the sort of pros and cons, if any, on either side to having scaled your business the way you have?
Oh, so the pro is, sorry, I'm getting a knock on the door.
No worries. No worries.
I'm just going to check it real fast.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do about the Africa thing, because what I'm kind of doing right now is, like, sorry. I do have a couple colleagues I work with.
Yeah,
as like coverage,
that's what I would say, get coverage.
Like emergency coverage type thing. And then okay. I also, like, I'm kind of doing the same thing, like front loading it. I do have one client that I'm just going to put on hold and basically like have 2 weeks.
Sure.
Where they're not paying me. That's fine. It's
quarantine. That's another option. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I'm small enough where I can do individually what people are comfortable with. So that's kind of like,
yeah,
my plan.
These,
right,
we are not in life or death businesses.
No, not.
So
Casey,
yeah.
PR.
Yeah. Right. Right. There you go. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. So sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So pros, I would say, I'm like, I have to get my head back in this. Yeah, honestly, I do find it really fun. Like, there's lots of things about scaling that are fun. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. It's helping me strengthen our processes and our business model. So really understanding, mm-hmm, like how we work, the value we provide, how to make it better and better, mm-hmm, so that it's not just dependent on Laura and I.
Gotcha.
So that's really like, mm-hmm, our goal. Again, back to like when we started and when we were talking about what we wanted to do, one of the things we thought, okay, 10 years from now, where do we want to be? And all we came up with was, we just want to exist. We,
yeah,
just want to make like a sustainable business, which, you know, is like, it could probably be much better of a goal, but
it's like a goal,
still
though,
like scaling.
It's start a goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a goal. We just want to exist. So yeah. So that the pro, it's helped. There's another thing, Amanda, you were saying that you know when to say no. And I am totally a yes person. Like, I just like,
yeah, let Amanda put you through her boot camp, her no boot camp.
I need to.
It's 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good things about saying yes too. And I do say yes to a lot of things, and, you know, it shouldn't be a knee jerk thing, but I feel like I just had a lot of experience and I don't get bitten twice.
One thing that Amanda had said to me, not to interrupt you, Troy, but like what she said to me, she was like, my clients respect me more for saying no to them and they keep coming back for more. And I was like, that's actually genius.
They also respect you more if you tell them that that you don't think that they're the right fit for something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean,
that's,
it's like, yeah, yeah, no, you know, it's like, they're like, you know, you explain something to them, but you know what? I'm not sure you're the right fit for this program. Then they want to do it more.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's pros. I do like to say yes. I'm learning always to say no, but scaling lets me say yes more because we have more skills and more availability. The con, I would say, is probably flexibility and challenge. Like, it is a big challenge. It's a lot of work. Like what you mentioned, it's, you know, there is a ton of admin time. I'm not able to do as much design time as I was, because it's a lot of time just figuring out the logistics of two offices, mm-hmm, how we work together, and making sure that we maintain our culture, making sure that we're making the right decisions, we have the right people, and that we're investing in those people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, because when we were asking people for advice, like that was like another question, was,
yeah,
the advice we received. We actually received way more advice about not to scale, mm-hmm, and not to, you know, to really be very careful about scaling. And I think that's because of all these challenges, and that at the end of the day, if we really looked at it, we could.
Uh-oh. You there, Tori?
Did we lose her?
Case, are you,
yeah,
there?
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah. There you,
oh,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can hear her.
Okay. We're good.
Can you hear? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I don't know if you could hear, but my daughter was, freaking out a second.
Oh, no.
So that was what was going on back there. Yeah. So I don't know where it left off. Sorry.
So
about
you were
that.
Saying that when you were seeking advice, people were actually mostly advising you not to scale.
Yeah. And we also got a lot of advice like against a partnership.
Mm.
And I'm I'm very thankful for that advice because it did help Laura and I prepare our business mm-hmm. and really have a lot of like the challenging conversations.
Right.
And just know that like opening up the office in Kalamazoo, I would say that I think in my mind, it was going to be much easier to get clients here. Mm. And it's just more of a challenge. Like I didn't work here before. I didn't have a freelance business. Laura and I both combined our freelance businesses. So we had this set of clients that was way easier to grow. So opening up a new market, it's like you don't build it and they come.
You have to go get them.
Yeah, I got to go get them. And it's good because it's making me realize like our assumption is that Kalamazoo is a market. It's a great testing market. We can see if this works here. And if it works here, then we have a business model that can scale other places.
That's cool. So when you were seeking advice, what types of people were you asking? Were you asking like other business owners? Were you asking close friends or sort of, and what was the most helpful, I guess, resource for that?
Oh, we asked all over. So I pretty much asked anyone I could think of. So like designers that I've been in contact with who are older and have more experience, tried asking them, anyone I'd known that had a partnership before, mm-hmm. like getting advice mm-hmm. on what worked and what didn't work. And we heard advice all over the board, but I would say like, we also had this resource. So we did this Catalyst program that's through the Entrepreneurs Organization in Nashville.
Nice.
Yeah. Loved it. It was fabulous. So they set you up in these like small business forums. So you're with all these other business owners.
They call it Accelerator here. They have a similar thing.
I think. It or-
Well, they have EO here and they have an accelerator program that they call it.
I think it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This forum group.
Yeah. With forums. Yeah. With forums. Yeah.
That was very valuable because I got advice from other business owners who, you know, it's hard. I think there's like lots of resources out there, but a lot of times they're more like the books I would read were more based on one, not service-oriented businesses, like product-oriented businesses. For some reason, there's ton more resources to them than there is to service-oriented. Mm-hmm. And then they were usually for much larger businesses. Okay. And so when we're scaling, and like Laura and I, we're being very intentional as we scale. We don't actually see ourselves as growing to be these like huge studios. We see ourselves as setting up additional studios. Like we think our studio model is working, so we don't want to break that, but we think it could work in different areas.
Okay. And did you and Laura formalize your partnership right away or did it take a while?
Our initial partnership, our partnership agreement was, I think, something I downloaded off the internet.
Hey, at least you had some sort of agreement, honestly.
Yeah, we had agreement. And I do really recommend that. Like any partnership, I mean, it's like a marriage, right? Or anything else. It's like you want things in writing because worst case scenario, you need to make sure that you can part on like as good of terms as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like when it's going well, you don't need anything. But like if anything were to happen, you want to have something in place that it's what you've invested in isn't gone.
Right.
So I would say you just want like our goal now is to revisit our partnership every year.
Yeah.
So to make sure that it's still equitable, that we're still feeling both invested. And the way we see it is like I work for Laura, Laura works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're held accountable to each other.
Do you have any kind of business coach that works with you through those process through that process?
Actually did. So it was last year we hired someone. Let's see. So 2017. So 2017 was like when we set up our second studio and that we knew we needed to set up a second studio. We were outgrowing our space in Nashville. We were trying to figure out what it looked like. And then my husband actually got a job opportunity in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So like here we are right now. So when Laura and I looked at it, it actually made a lot of sense. Like the market here is really small, or it's smaller. It's not like a major market, but there are some major businesses like Stryker and Pfizer that are really established. So there's some corporate businesses that create the structure for smaller innovative businesses to kind of arise. So we feel like this was a good choice for us. But as we were making that, so basically I had my maternity leave and moved. So we're setting up the second office. So we had hired this business coach right before all this kind of took place because we knew the maternity leave. Yeah. We were changing some structures, so we just wanted to make sure we were doing it well. So it worked out really, really well. Like, I very much encourage that.
Yeah.
Just because it allowed us to talk about things that we might not have if it was just the two of us talking.
Right, right. And Amanda, where do you, I know that you're part of a lot of organizations. Where do you go for advice and resources for yourself and your business?
So, I mean, I just have a large network of business owner friends, and a lot of that's come out of one organization that I'm a member of that's an exclusive membership organization here in D.C. called Cadre. That's just a great group of really awesome business owners, and the group itself is they host events that are like big speaker events. They're more kind of creative, team building type events. Mm-hmm. There are workshop events, and there are different ways to get together throughout, a couple of times each month. Mm-hmm. And then there's, an intranet with that and social media where we keep in communication. But I know a lot of those people from outside that network as well. It's just, seeing them mm-hmm. at those events really, the more you see people, the right. more you get to talk to them, you feel comfortable and familiar with them. Yeah. So, I mean, that's been really great. Just being here and being in the business world in DC for 16 years, I guess I've only been in DC 16 years. So I've been business world for 11, 12. Yeah. And I started networking right when I was out of college. I joined a BNI group right mm-hmm. when I started my sales job. And that was actually the biggest jumping off point for my network, I actually have to say. That was an incredible group of people that I'm still friends with today. Not none of us, but hardly any of us still belong to that group. We've outgrown it. We mm-hmm. belong to different things. We're all running shit. These people are amazing people, and we met when we were, 12 years ago.
Cool.
Yeah, networking is so major and powerful.
Yeah.
For sure. So I want to be sensitive to you boss ladies' time, but I wanted to just throw a question out there that I did not send you in advance, so sorry in advance. what resources, like right now, like whether it's apps or tools or whether it's an accounting thing or an HR service like Gusto or whatever, what is sort of like your go-tos right now that are really helping you?
Ooh. Oh, I can answer this.
I have a long list.
Because I feel like this was one of my biggest struggles in starting the business was mm-hmm. resources. And I do feel like technology can do so much for us because we used to have to hire someone. Like my business today would not have been possible like 10 years ago, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
Because having the two offices, being able to scale the way we have, we're so reliant on technology. And Laura, my schedules being really flexible, we can do that because we have things that help us do mm-hmm. things like accounting and HR. So I would say, I already mentioned Gusto mm-hmm. for HR. Love it. We use Harvest for time tracking, which is we've had to do some kind of like customizations to it because it's really set up for probably a smaller group than us,
gotcha.
But we still really like it.
Okay.
And we've tried to switch and we realized it was just a better format for us. Zero for our accounting. We like that.
Zero.
Okay. It's Xero.
Okay.
We like it better than QuickBooks. We do have a business manager who helps. She's like a contract position, but she's been wonderful. And she's a CPA. Mm. So she's loved Xero. It's much more set up for someone with an accounting background, but it is very easy to use. And we had more problems with QuickBooks. So we like Xero. Mm. And then for like kind of that community building and internal tools. We love Slack. We're on it all day. Oh, yeah. Bonusly, we just added. And Bonusly is awesome for teams because you can give these micro bonuses. So it's like 10 points equals a dollar.
Cool.
So each one of our employees gets 300 points a month, so they can give out to people, anyone who's done something great.
That's
so
really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's been
so
really fun.
I love that.
I'm like obsessed. I've been telling all my clients about it. Like anyone who has like a team that they're working remotely, because then it lets us know like in Kalamazoo, we get to see what's happening in Nashville. When someone has to stay late, they can bonus them something fun. So I've loved that. Okay, I think Slack. Oh, and then Asana. Asana is how Asana's we do our tasks. Yeah, I love Asana. So those are main ones. Love them all. And then Zoom is what we've been using
Zoom.
For
conferences. Sure. Yeah. I use Zoom.
I like I'm still kind of up for finding a better one because we still have clients who struggle downloading it. Yeah. And I don't know why.
So that's the thing with me is I have to really adopt the technology of the client and use whatever they're using internally. So I pretty much use everything. Yeah. I know about the only one I hadn't heard of is Bonusly, and I think that sounds awesome. I'm going to introduce, I have one client right now that I know would really love that. So that's cool. I mean, a lot of the resources that I use on a regular basis are really creative resources because I do execution and I do a lot of training on execution for the internal marketing teams that are entry level and don't know how to do certain things.
Right.
So, I mean, pretty much all the stuff that, I mean, I see you have up Canva right now. I use VizMe is good. VizMe is amazing at really easily putting together infographics.
Oh, cool.
Relay is similar to that, except for it's like if you create a theme and a brand for something that you're building across a lot of platforms, it allows you to very readily create multiple graphics in different sizes for different networks.
Oh, cool. Like social
graphics? Social graphics, cool. Yeah. And like email marketing and all that, so like banners and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Deposit Photos is a good photo.
Network stock photos.
Yeah, it's stock photos, but a little bit better. Well, I got a good deal on it. Yeah, well, and Pexels is the best because it's so free. Good. I mean, a lot of it's free.
Yeah.
Then there's email marketing with all the different, you know, one of my clients is making me go over to Constant Contact, but I'm a MailChimp fan right now.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, and I've been using it for years and I keep, you know, kind of dabbling with the others. I want to stay on top of it to see, hey, is this better now? Because things change all the time.
Sure.
But so I'll find out again about Constant Contact. I haven't really looked at that in, but I think it would say 2 years. So I'm going to be forced to do that. So,
Well, cool. Thank you guys so much. This has been so helpful for me personally. So I'm sure people are going to find so much value in this. Amanda, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Grade A Fresh on Twitter. You can also search me, Amanda Fisher, on LinkedIn.
And how about you, Tori?
Oh, well, Circa Design is very active on Instagram, and it's great. It's worth following Circa rather than me because mine is just all personal stuff and tons of pictures of my baby. So no one's really interested in that. Some pictures of my dog. Then LinkedIn, Tori Thomas.
Okay. And Circa's website is what? Circa.design.
Circa.design. Yeah, cool. Check it out.
Well, thank you guys so much, everybody, for listening. If you liked this episode, I'm going to steal this line from Casey for the first time. Go ahead and review us on iTunes.
Woohoo!
If you have any questions for these fabulous ladies as a follow-up, just shoot us a DM on at GoDownTheFoxhole or an email at hello@GoDownTheFoxhole. So thank you guys so much.
Woo. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Thank you. All right. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to...